last verse. It's just so good. When you think about it, we think 10,000 years is a long time, don't we? It does seem like it. It seems like, wow, 10,000 years, that's a long time. But in heaven, once we've got our 10,000th year finished, we have as much time left as we already spent and even more. We just keep praising the Lord. And that's what eternity is all about. And it's all because of God's amazing, amazing grace. And that's what really I'm preaching about this morning. But it's our response to that. And Psalm 107 makes it very clear four times we just read. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." I'm going to talk to you about praise the Lord for his goodness. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching this morning, and we do thank you for the beautiful music and songs, and Lord, we want to uplift your name today and praise you for your goodness. You're so good to us, and I pray that you'll help us to be challenged today not to forget how good you are. Bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God is always good. One of God's attributes is his goodness. He's never anything but good. Now, sometimes we don't like all the things that happen. We don't appreciate all the things that take place, but never, never, at one time, never is God not good. He is good. It is an attribute of God. All he does is good. I'm so glad that the Bible tells us all things work together for good. We can start to understand a little bit better how God's goodness is never compromised. He's just always good, but all things work together for good. It may seem like, boy, this is not a good thing, and yet God's good, and all he can do is good. And so we can understand, and as we live a little bit longer in our Christian lives, we see how it's always true that God is good. A situation may come up that we don't necessarily like. I think of the story of Job, and that is an unbelievable story. And yet, in all of that, God was good. All the way through, everything that happened, God was good. Now, God has to tell us, though, in his word, he has to tell us four times here to praise him for his goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. If only men would do that. If only men would just take time out and praise the Lord. I really thought Craig was going to take his shoes off and run up and down the aisle. I was a little worried about it. Truth of the matter is, if anybody our age could, Craig probably could, because he still referees soccer games, so you have to run up and down. So I suppose he could do it. I was thinking, if I got involved in that, it might be a quick walk. But we ought to praise God. We have become way, way, way too unpraising as people. We ought to praise the Lord. We ought to not be so afraid to praise God. Don't let the charismatics chase off your shout. Don't let the charismatics chase off our praise. We've gone the wrong way in this thing. Well, Baptists were praising God way before there ever was a charismatic. Amen. Oh, that's scary. But we can praise the Lord, and we should never be afraid to praise God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And God is so good. He is so good to us. And here, again, it talks about praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, praising the Lord not only for his goodness, his wonderful works to the children of men. And we certainly don't like his wrath, and we don't like his judgment, and those things always bothers. But I promise you this, in everything that takes place in our lives, in everything that takes place in our world, there is one thing that is always going to be true, and that is God is good. I want to talk to you about that very thing that God had to tell us here to praise the Lord for his goodness. He had to make it known to man. And there are other verses in the Bible that talk about where God has to tell us. I think of the verse that says he inhabits the praises of Israel. And how God's most comfortable. We often get where I just need God to come. And did you know that the way to get God involved is to praise him? He wants to hear our praise. He wants us to talk about how good he is. He wants us to talk. You know, so many Christians, it's gripe about this, complain about that, get all upset about these things. And God says, hey, I inhabit praise. I want to be where there is praise. Again, I'm not talking about just praise for the sake of praise. I'm talking about, God, you're good. You are just always good. And so let me challenge you with some things that I think we do with God's goodness. And to me, it is such a problem. First of all, don't refuse God's goodness. Don't refuse God's goodness. You know, so many people in our world have refused the goodness of God. They've just said, you know, I do not want it. Can you imagine? I mean, seriously, I cannot imagine that. I do not want God's goodness. The truth is, you and I turned on God. We're the ones that turned on God. Debbie sang a song about amazing grace. The amazing thing about the grace of God, and grace is giving to those that do not deserve it. The amazing thing, we're the ones that turned on God. We're the ones that said, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm not going to obey you, God, and I'm going to do what I think is the best thing. And we turned on God. He didn't turn on us. We're the ones who rebelled against God. We're the ones who did our own thing. We're the ones who sinned. We're the ones who uttered that first lie. We're the ones that allowed that first wrong thought. We're the ones that stole that thing. We're the ones that gossiped. We're the ones that did those things. And we chose the path that leads us straight to hell. This is why we deserve hell. Oh, you said Sunday morning. I don't want to get in. No, we deserve hell. I'm telling you, folks, we have got to get away from this idea that we're clean. We are clean through the blood of Jesus Christ, but we deserve hell. Just like the biggest drug addict out there, the biggest drug pusher out there, biggest pornographer out there, doesn't matter what they've done, the biggest murderer out there, we're just as guilty as they are. Hello. Better get used to it. That's amen, because that's how it is. And I'm going to tell you this, you're not going to appreciate the grace of God till you get a hold of the fact that you deserve hell. You're not going to fully comprehend and grasp the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, till you grasp the idea we deserve punishment in hell because we chose a path that leads straight to hell. I chose it. You chose it. We chose that path. God commendeth his love toward us. He commended his love toward us. Recommended. He said, I love you. I want you to know that I love you. While we were yet sinners, we chose a path that was not the path God had for us. We chose to sin. And yet God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He paid the price. Christ died for us. He paid the price. God is good. He sent his son, his only begotten son, the only way sin could be paid for. By the way, that is one of the reasons. Look, if you will, keep your place here in Psalm 107, but look at Romans 2, verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. This is one of the things that is such a wonderful verse. It says in verse 4, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Isn't that good? The goodness of, if you would just get a hold of the goodness of God. Okay, you and I chose a path that leads us to hell. The wages of sin is death. We chose that path. The soul that sinneth it shall die. We chose that path. It's as if I said, hey, I want to go to hell the first time I sinned. We chose that path. But God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We need to understand it's the goodness of God that could cause us to say, you know what? I'm wrong in this thing. The goodness of God. I understand some are saved because we preach about the fires of hell. And people ought to get saved because of that. That's how, I think that that's why I got saved. I didn't want to go to hell. I was terrified of hell. And that's why I got saved. But the goodness of God to recognize that God is good and he sent his son to pay the price so I wouldn't have to go to hell. Wow, shouldn't that cause us to say, you know what? I want to be saved. Shouldn't that cause the Christian to change their mind about sin? God's good. Why in the world would we ever stab God in the back? Why would we ever go against God? Why would God's good to us? Don't refuse God's goodness. You're here today and you've never been saved. Don't leave here lost. Amen. Don't leave without Christ. You know, the devil puts so many weird thoughts in our mind and thoughts of, well, if I get saved, I'm going to have to do this. If I get saved, I'm going to have to... No, understand, your salvation isn't based on anything you have to do. Your salvation is based upon something he did. He died on a cross to pay for your sin. Your salvation is based upon you believing in that and trusting him as your Savior and simply calling on him to save your soul. You know, the devil likes to cause a lost person to think about, well, what about this and what about this? Forget about all those things. Think of Jesus. He hung on a cross. He died for you. He paid for your sin debt that you could not pay other than to go to hell for all eternity. He paid it. That's what salvation's all about. You know, don't refuse God's goodness. Don't refuse it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It's a fearful thing. But the truth of the matter is, you don't have to. Nobody has to. It's such a refreshing thought to think that nobody has to go to hell. Because God made a way for people to be saved. If you're here without Christ, you may have been coming here for years. You may have been going to church all your life. You may be a child of a deacon, a pastor, a leader in a church or whatever, and still be on your way to hell. You don't have to. You don't have to go to hell because the goodness of God, God made a way. He didn't have to make a way. Do you understand? He did not have justice. Could have easily been met by all of us going to hell. That would have been right. It would have been just. Guilty. It would have been perfectly right, perfectly just. But God said, I'm gonna pay the price for them. It's an amazing, amazing thing. But listen to me. Don't refuse God's goodness. Don't shake your fist and say, you know what? I'm gonna do my own thing. Don't do it. We you know, thank God for the air to breathe. Thank God for water to drink. Thank God for food to eat. Thank God for the beauty that we get to see. You know, thank God. He's good. He's good to the just and the unjust. All these people that, you know, we don't believe in God, and if there really was a God, you know, all this kind of stuff, and they're sucking the air that God provides. Amen. Drinking the water that God gave and eating the food that God made possible for them. You know what? But the fact of the matter is, he did all that. But the greatest thing that he's ever done is when he left heaven's glory, lived a perfect life, took the words and the cursing and the beating and the spit of men on his face. Do you understand? The greatest thing was when he hung on that cross and he said, "It is finished," and the price was paid. So that we could be saved. Don't refuse God's goodness today. The psalmist said, "Praise the Lord for his goodness." Let's praise the Lord. He's so good. He's always good. And he said, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." If you don't get anything else today, understand. He loves you. He loves you enough. He sent his son to die for you. Don't refuse God's goodness. Oh, how many? Well, the pews show it. You know, we've spent a pretty busy week inviting people and many unsaved people and talk to them. And how many, you know, well, maybe someday. Well, I don't have time right now. No, I want to do my own thing. And what are they saying? They're saying, you know what? I don't want God's goodness. We're getting close to the end of Revelation. And wow, we're talking about the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. And talking about in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And just thinking about what that's going to be like. And all of that is just part of God's goodness. How sad that somebody would refuse God's goodness. Don't refuse God's goodness. Number two, please, 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 Christian, don't lose God's goodness. Don't lose God's goodness. In verse 33, it's interesting, this whole passage is about the goodness of God, and I didn't want to read all the way through it, but we did choose these verses. But all these things that God does and so many wonderful things, history has recorded all the goodness of God and shown us so many things. But I did happen to notice in verses 33 and 34, it says, He turneth rivers into a wilderness. Uh-oh. Oops. And the water springs into dry ground. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. That doesn't sound like a good thing. Verse 34, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. Uh-oh. Wow. You mean rivers dry up and water springs become a desert and fruitful land becomes barren? Yes, yes, because we can lose the goodness of God. At least what we perceive as a goodness. I'm not saying God is not being good. I'm just saying He wants to have blessing after blessing after blessing. You understand, since the age of 17, I've known the goodness of God. 40 years this fall, I can say I've known the goodness of God personally in my life. I'm talking about His goodness. And what I'm telling you is, you know, do you want that in your life or do you not want that in your life? Do you want His blessing or do you want the river turned into a wilderness? Do you want the water springs turned into dry ground? Do you want the fruitful land to become a barren land? I don't think anybody would say, I choose those things. Don't lose God's goodness. I've known bills being paid. I'm talking about bills being paid that I don't know how they got paid. Now, I'm not saying that we didn't write a check. I just don't know where the money came from. Well, I do know where it came from, but I don't understand it. I just have to think God did it. I've known the goodness of God. I've known miracles take place. I've watched God heal people. I've seen miracles take place. Now, I'm not talking about in front of a TV camera. Because I don't think God has to ever be put to a test in front of a TV camera. I think God just tells us what to do. Amen. And I've known that to happen. I've seen it happen. I watched a fella come to the altar one time. He had asked me if we would pray for him. And I've watched God take cancer away from people. Now, I'm not saying that having cancer is not good. I'm just saying God many, many times will bless and He will do things. And I wouldn't want to lose that. I don't want to lose that. One of the greatest reasons to just do right is, God, I want you to keep blessing me. That should be one of our motivators here. And not only for our church, but in our families, in our lives. I need the goodness of God in my life. I've known so many wonderful things. I've seen God change people's hearts. I watched my dad get saved. There's folks in this room, you're praying for a dad or a mom or a grandma or a grandpa or an aunt or an uncle or a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter. You're begging God to save them. I'm thinking of somebody right now I've been praying for. And it's the goodness of God. I've watched Him do it. My own dad, a miracle. My own dad who won right after another. I sent soul winners to his house and he threw them out, including Carl Hatch. Oh, listen to me, folks. I've seen and I've known the goodness of God. I've seen His power. You've seen His power on and on and on. So many. You know, once you've known the goodness of God, there is no substitute. Money's not a substitute. health is not a substitute, because all within money and health and all that the world may want and everything, God's goodness can take care of all those things. This church has seen the goodness of God. We just went through it. You know, as you go out there and you look at the area that was flooded. You know, I still, it's not that far away that I remember walking in the lower foyer and literally hearing rain inside the building and thinking, that doesn't sound right. It's not supposed to rain in the building, it's supposed to rain outside the building. And walking up the steps and seeing a little river flow through down the hallway there by the bookstore. Hey, you know, God's good. God's good. I'm just thinking about last fall, right after everything was done. And winter was approaching again. And Jessica and Brittany came over to my office, a very windy day. I mean, it was roaring wind out there. And they came in, they said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this, but the roof is blowing off. I said, the what? They said, yeah, the roof. So we went out, Tim. We went out and the roof on the office area, it was all peeled back. And the wind had caught it somehow and peeled it up. And we got it on film and everything. And it's like, oh, no, 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 no. So all the nurseries and everything. And that's I looked at the radar, and there's a big green blob headed our way. Green blobs are not monsters. It's rain. I wanted to help you there. But, you know, somehow God took care of all that. Didn't have a drip come in the building. And as far as we know, it's still not even fixed. But it is fixed somehow because it hadn't leaked. I just, you know, it just amazes me. It amazes me how God takes care of us. You know? How about your life? Have you seen God's goodness in your life? Amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. But don't lose God's goodness because of some sin. You know, it starts off with some little temptation, some little thing. Maybe a temptation not to read your Bible that day, not to pray that day, start missing church. You know, all of a sudden now, you know, we used to be so faithful, but then we start missing some, and pretty soon we start to do things we didn't used to do, and pretty soon we're in a rut where we say, well, where is God anyway? And we forget because we just don't see the blessings. You know, I just keep watching our bus ministry. I watch the back of the bulletin just like you do, although I get to see it before the back of the bulletin. But praise the Lord, it's a miracle, absolute miracle, when all the bills are paid, things happen. We were able to buy buses. You say, well, we gave that. Yeah, but it's a miracle. Aren't you amazed that you have a job? Well, no, I've worked. You need to get your attitude changed. Because there's a whole bunch of folks in our country that don't have jobs. I'm not talking about folks who don't want them. I'm talking about people that want them that don't have them. Isn't it amazing to get a raise? When's the last time you praised God for the extra hours? Boy, it's quiet. Anyway, praise the Lord. I've seen so many miracles. You say, well, God didn't do that. We did that. Who gave you breath to breathe? Who gave you the opportunity to work the job? Who gave you the money? Who gave you the settlement? Who gave you the, you know, so-and-so sent? I don't know how many people, they'll stand up and give a testimony. You know, IRS sent me money. Really, that's got to be a miracle. God's so good. Amen. I've seen so many miracles. But I don't want to lose God's goodness. I don't want to lose. Please, understand, it's just that one little, it's that pull right now, you know, in your life to get you away from the walk with God or away from a relationship with Him. We need God's goodness day in and day out. That means I've got to keep doing what I'm doing. You've got to keep doing what you're doing. We cannot compromise. We have got to have the goodness of God in our lives, in our church, in our ministry. We've known too much to go back. And I'm not going to settle for something that just feels good. I want the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. Don't refuse God's goodness. Don't lose God's goodness. Number three, don't misuse God's goodness. This happens all the time. We misuse God. How could we misuse God's goodness? Well, one way is we start worshiping the goodness instead of God. It happens to people all the time. You know, the devil is he is a master at corrupting that which is good. He's so good at it. He's so deceitful, such a liar. And all of a sudden we start saying, well, look at this good thing. Look at this good thing. And we're not supposed to be looking at good things. We need to look at a good God. You know, instead of look at this and look at that, look at him. Look at him. Good example, the brazen serpent on the pole. Remember that story in the Old Testament? Brazen serpent. Because of the people's sin, God sent some fiery serpents down. They're biting the people. The people are dying left and right. They're sick. They're hurt. And then God said to make a serpent out of brass and put it up on a pole and raise it up high. And if the people would look at it and they would believe God and trust God, they would be healed from the bites from the serpents. And sure enough, boy, those that looked, and by the way, we sing the song, look and live, my brother live, look to Jesus now and live. And Jesus made the comparison, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And sure enough, people looked and they lived. And I can imagine there were many that did not look. Just like there are many today that will not get saved. They'll refuse God's goodness. But I just think about what happened to those people. And believe it or not, it is hard to imagine. You read in the scripture that the people lived, and then they took that brazen serpent on that pole, and they made it into an idol. You know, that serpent made out of brass didn't help anybody. That serpent made out of brass didn't heal anybody. That serpent made out of brass was just something God said, look at it. Who did the healing? Who did the saving? It was God. The people just like us, you know, all of a sudden it's, oh, you know, my job. How about the God who gave you your job? How about the God who keeps you in your job? How about the God who made sure that your job got the contract so that they could pay you? Amen. I used to have to preach this in Flint. When GM and you know, Ford and all, they're in their heyday, and it's like, it's our union. I said, it's not your union. It's not your CEO. It's God. Amen. Now, I'm not saying people don't make good choices, and that's not the point. The point, what about God? Don't worship the goodness instead of God. Worship God. It all goes to Him. For so many today, the end is our prosperity. That's not the end. If you're prosperous, that's wonderful. The end is glorifying God because of it. Amen. Wow, I've got lots of money. That's being facetious. No. Wow, look what God's done. We paid our bills. I don't know how many years I've had Tim put on the praise sheet, paid all bills. To me, that's a wonderful thing, to pay all your bills. Don't you think a church ought to pay all their bills? What do you suppose it tells the community if a church doesn't pay their bills? What's it say about the one who's in charge of the church? Well, Pastor, we don't want to bring you. That's not me. It's him. I've prayed this so many times ever since I've been a pastor. This is your church, God. These bills are your bills. Help us to use wisdom and not to ever do anything that might bring any kind of reproach on your name. But on the other side of it, when it does get paid, shouldn't we say thank you? Shouldn't we praise Him? Worship? Yeah, I don't know how many people have gotten big-headed and go, wow, you know, look at us. No, look at Him. Look at Him. That's what it's always about. Otherwise, we start making an idol like the people did with the brazen serpent. We need to lift Him up. Amen? You understand, if it was about our prosperity, any individual, then the only people that God's good to must be those that have money, right? And that would totally ruin the story about the widow's mite. What'd she give? She gave everything she had. And did God honor her? Of course He did. Why? Because it brings glory to God. Folks, listen to me. It's don't misuse the goodness of God. Don't worship the goodness instead of God. And certainly don't worship you. Look what I did. No, look what he did. It's so easy. Look what I did. No, listen, here's what you have to do. And this is why I keep saying so many times I have to remind, look, here's where you came from. He lifted me up out of a pit. He set my feet upon a rock. I didn't do it. I didn't climb up out of that pit. No, I said, help! And he helped. And he reached down. And he lifted me up. And he set my feet on a rock. And I see me. You know, that's me. I got the life preserver around me and I'm holding on for dear life. And he put me on a solid rock. And he established my goings so I didn't fall back in. Amen. That's how we need to look at us. And then anything else is just amazing. Absolutely amazing. He did it. I used to, when I was in Bible college, I used to go to, we lived right across the street from the campus church there in Pensacola on St. John Street. Some of you are familiar with that, many are not, because they built a new building and everything. But we lived across the street, and I had a key to the buildings because I checked light bulbs and changed light bulbs for the maintenance department there. And so I many times would go into the church, and I believe the auditorium at that time would seat about 600. And I remember I would go in, I'd make sure nobody else was there, and I would stand behind the pulpit and just stare. Now again, I was just a few years away from being a hippie. It was all new to me. Pastoring, preaching, all of that was all new to me. But I would get behind that pulpit and I would look. And I would look out. And I would say, God, if I could just have 20 people. And I'd look at the rows and I would look for 20. Actually, they were individual seats back then. And I would look and I'd count out 20 and I'd think, wouldn't that be something if I could ever just have 20? If I just had somebody that would come and listen, that'd be an amazing thing. And then Brenda and I started the Faith Baptist Church in Bern, which just celebrated their, 34th anniversary. Is that right? 33rd, something. Anyway, I don't remember. That's not right. What was it? 32nd. All right. Anyway, it's kind of like, please be seated or stand or whatever. But I remember in that basement of that library, I don't know where we got the, that we had a podium. It was like a rectangular podium, and it had like red carpet on top, and which I never did like it because it dulled my pound. But anyway, we had a little podium there, and we set up chairs. And we had, I think we set up 35 or 36 chairs for that first Sunday morning. And I remember the Saturday night before standing there at that little podium and looking out and thinking, I wonder what it would be like if anybody comes. We had knocked on doors. We had visited. We had called. We had done everything. We begged God. And I remember thinking, I wonder, I know my wife's going to be there. I'll have one center to preach to. But then she worked nursery, so there went that center. And for years, my wife worked nursery by herself with every child. It was an amazing thing. But I remember looking out and thinking, I wonder who's going to come. Will anybody come? Now, folks, honestly, I don't forget about that. I was at Hiles Anderson College one time. We had a God Save America National Conference, and they asked me to speak. And I believe there were 2,000 people. I'm not sure. The auditorium was packed. And I remember before I got up, and I remembered standing in those empty auditoriums wondering if I'd ever have a soul to preach to, ever, if anybody'd ever show up, ever. And do you know, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's not me. It has nothing to do with me. It always has to do. The only thing that has to do with me is when it messes up, like it did a little while ago. That's the only time it has to do with me. Brother Cree, you know what I'm talking about. The only time it has to do with you is if something didn't work out. But I'm going to tell you, it's the goodness of God. And if we start thinking we're something, if you think, you know, remember when you the first time you sang and you were terrified? scared to death. But all of a sudden, several folks have complimented. Some of the people have said, you know, you ought to make a CD. Well, really? Oh, yes. Yes, you have the most beautiful voice, you know. And it's like, really? No, listen to me. You just keep getting up before you sing the night before. You go ahead and be terrified like you used to be. Because I'm going to tell you still need him. I don't care how good your voice. Hey, bus captain, I don't care how great your leadership. Well, you know, they tell me I'm the best bus captain in all the world. Listen to me. It's not you. It's in spite of you. Amen. It's in spite of what you are that God would ever use you. Don't misuse God's goodness. Please, whatever you do, remember the basement of the library. Remember the storefront building. Remember this building when you had to put this part on top of the basement and you didn't know how you were going to do it. Remember those days. Remember the, Chuck, remember the sawdust that was going to insulate the building and ended up, when it rained, leaking into the building. Remember all those wonderful things, because I'm going to tell you something, it's always about him. Let's not forget our roof leak, amen? Yeah, I don't know what God's going to do. I have no idea. I just keep watching God bless in so many ways. But I'm not going to forget about that. I'm not going to forget that year. I'm not going to forget the fellowship hall and having church down there and just wondering what God was going to do. Don't forget, it's all about him. It always all about him. He's been good to you. Know that without him, you'd be a flop. Amen. Amen. Don't misuse God's goodness. I just have two more and I'll be done. Number four is don't abuse God's goodness. Don't abuse. Don't refuse. Don't misuse. Don't abuse. And don't abuse God's goodness. Oh, listen to me. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. I think about how good God's been to our church. And how many folks just aren't, you kind of stay a little distant. I'm telling you, you're wasting a great opportunity. There's so much to do. I think about being in America. Do you understand we're still in the greatest country in the world? I know what all's going on. I know the politics. I'm keeping track. We're watching. We're seeing all kinds of foolish decisions. What do we expect from men? You know, you say, yeah, but I can't believe that our government, I can't believe this, I can't, but still the greatest country in the world. And do you know we still can run our buses? And we still can go soul winning? And we still can read our Bible? And we still can pray? Well, they took prayer out of the public school. But you can't keep a kid from praying. I tell our public school kid, just pray. You don't have to pray out loud. Why would we do it anyway? If we're in the, like, well, you know, we're trying to show them. We don't have to show them anything. Prayer is talking to him. I can do that by myself. I do often. It's all about talking to him. We're still in the greatest country. Let's not ruin that. Let's not abuse God's goodness. He's put us in a wonderful country. He's put us under laws where we can still do these things. You know, we have people talking, well, you know, one of these days they're going to come in, they're going to mow everybody down with machine guns. They didn't today. So what are we going to do? God's good. God's good. We didn't have guards at the drive saying, if you go in there, you're taking your life. And you didn't have to deal with that, did you? You just drove right on in and on a wonderful new driveway. Isn't that something? And you just drove right in. Didn't have to worry. All you had to worry about was, the ushers treating you right. Yes. Oh, let's not abuse God's goodness. You see, here's the thing. God trusts us with what we have. He trusts us. I think God believes we're going to go ahead and have Vacation Bible School this year. I think he believes we're going to see a lot of children saved this year. Hello? I believe he trusts us with it. I think God believes that we're going to go ahead and have the fair ministry this year. Oh, but they're really starting to crack down. They keep moving us farther and farther. Well, I don't know. You led a few to the Lord last year, didn't you, Kathy? Just 120 some. Yeah, that's all. Even though they moved us a little farther down. See, well, I'm just going to take my toys and go somewhere else. But that's abusing the goodness of God. He's good to us. He's still being good to us. I mean, here in Lenawee County, you understand, we're one of two bus ministries. I don't even know if the other one's a bus ministry as much as they just run a bus. We have a bus ministry. We have Brother Ray Hollins who makes sure we look at our buses out there. They're great buses. They run. We loaned one of our buses to a ministry five times our size, and we had to loan them a bus. Amen. Why'd we do that? Because they're not our buses. They're his. And they're gonna, that bus is being used to bring people to Christ. Don't abuse God's goodness. Don't waste God's goodness. Amen. Do you know that he's the comforter? So why go anywhere else for comfort? Right? Do you know he's the provider? Then why go anywhere else for provision? Oh, you know, I got a problem. I better call the bank. How about calling him first? Call on me. There's folks in this room, honestly, you've saved a whole lot of money on interest because you called him first. He's never charged interest that I know of. Now, I'm not saying you can't go to the bank. I'm just saying go to him first. He may lead you to the bank. He may think, do you understand that that bank may have somebody in it that needs your interest to pay their debt off? God can do all that. Did you ever think the doctor, where you're going to go to get whatever it is you're going to get done, maybe he prayed and asked God to provide him something, so God put a little thing inside of you that he has to take out and charge you for. It's okay.
So that's why that's there.
Yeah. Doctor needs a new car. I don't know. You know, maybe your washing machine broke down, so maybe your roof leaked so Dan could fix it. I don't know.
Well, it's...
Let God be God and just give him the glory and the praise and don't abuse his goodness. If he provides, then take advantage of him providing and go to him and say, here's what I need, God. Praise the Lord. If he's the healer, then why wouldn't you go to him? Amen. By the way, if he's given you a talent, why wouldn't you use it? For his glory. It frustrates me when I know that everything we need, every kind of talent, every dime, everything we need is here to do what we're supposed to do. But we have so many people abusing God's goodness because he gave it. He gave it to you. He gave you whatever that is to be used for him. Don't abuse God's goodness. And then the last thing, don't get used to God's goodness. Don't get used to it. Don't get so used to it that you take it for granted. We do. I'll be honest with you. All you need to do is go to either a mission field or to a church that just started or something like that. Or go through a roof leak where you have to tear down and put back up and all those kinds. Although we had it very good. Our downstairs fellowship hall, it's nicer than, oh my, so many churches in America. We've been in the basement of the library and put the chairs up and set them up and take them down and we watched in Barbados, they set them up and take them down, put them up, take them down, clean up, all those kind of things. Don't get used to God's goodness. Don't take it for granted. The illustration, the best one I can come up with is the Israelites. Remember when they got their manna? Oh, wow, look at that. Look what God's done. Boy, this is tasty. God gave us this manna. God is so good to us. Wow, this is awesome. And then the next day, wow, isn't this great? He did it again. And the next day, boy, this is something. He did it again. The next day, wow. And the next day, yeah, we do have the manna. It's pretty good. And the next day, I'm getting a little tired of this manna. That's getting used to God's goodness. How hard to believe? It's hard to believe that the children of Israel, eventually, they hated it. They loathed it. Isn't that hard to imagine? They loathed the manna. It's because they got used to it. I promise you this, you would not get used to it if it was all you had. And when they realized it was all they had, they thought it was the greatest thing in the world. So many take it for granted, God's goodness. We take for granted. Do you understand? There are many, many churches in America. They don't have an altar. They don't have an altar call. Never. No altar call. You say, boy, what a blessing. I remember the first altar call, I sat in church and my heart beat faster and it's like, oh man. And what a blessing when I went forward and got right with God. Remember your first altar call and you got right with God? Maybe you got saved your first altar call. What a blessing. Man, I'm glad that's over with. Till the next altar call. Oh, and you hold on to the pew like, then you go forward. Oh, God, help me. And then, wow, boy, that's great. But I venture to say there's some folks you don't even remember what this looks like up here. I'm not mad at you. You get used to God's goodness. And I guarantee about the first time we get up at a business meeting and say, folks, we've decided that we're not going to have the altar call anymore. Because, it's just kind of outdated and old-fashioned, and we've decided to become a little more modern, and you'd be the first one to say, what? What's wrong with him? Anyway, you understand there's the reason many have stopped having the altar calls, nobody was at the altar. Do you understand there's some folks that have gone to church, Brother Korea, they've gone to church all their life, they've never seen anybody get baptized. We had a young girl baptized on Wednesday night, had to move 3 centipedes out of the way to baptize her and do it all without her seeing that they were in there. Boy, it makes the service exciting. I think Steve said or somebody said, Pastor, what were you fishing for back there? I said, I was trying to be discreet. But there's folks never seen a baptism, don't even know what it's like. Isn't that something? But of course, those would be churches where there was none to baptize, which means nobody's getting saved, Brother Bell. It's hard to imagine, isn't it, where you go to church week after week and never know that anybody got saved? Week after week after week, nobody gets saved, nothing happens, nobody's life's changed. Isn't that something? But don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Stay excited. Keep looking for God to do something. It's all about God. He's the only one that can save. We can't save anybody. Only God. And let's do what the psalmist said. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Don't refuse God's goodness. Don't misuse God's goodness. Don't abuse God's goodness. And don't get used to God's goodness. And don't, I think I left out, don't lose God's, all these things. Yeah. It all starts with just saying, God, you're good, and I'm praising you today for your goodness. Let's all bow our heads, please. Is there someone here today who'd say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Please pray for me. I'm not saved. Anyone like that? Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'd just like to pray for you. Anyone? I do not know whether I'm saved, but I'd like to be saved. Is there one? Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You're not sure you're saved. Anyone? I'm not sure I'm saved. Don't know that I'm saved. How many Christians would say, God has spoken to my heart this morning about something? Please pray for me. As a Christian, raise your hand all over. Just slip it up. Slip it up. God's speaking to my heart. I do thank you, Father, for the Word of God, and I thank you for not only you telling us how good you are, but you've proven it over and over and over again. And oh, that we would praise you for your goodness. I pray you'll help us to do that. Help us, Father, to deal with your goodness in the right way, to know that it's all about what you do and certainly not about anything we've done. Bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts. If someone here is not saved, please save them today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together, please.